Good morning, everyone. Nice to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. We have a wonderful, wonderful book to talk about today. It's called Red Barber, The Life and Legacy of a Broadcasting Legend. And boy, he is a broadcast legend, a Ford C. Frick Award winner. I heard him in Brooklyn when I was a kid growing up. And if there's an iconic broadcaster in the history of baseball, it is Red Barber. And this is the complete biography of Red Barber. It's written by Judith Hiltner and James Walker. Let me tell you a little bit about Judith. She's a professor emeritus of literature and languages at St. Xavier University and the author of books and articles on American literature and culture, including critical and biographical studies of Herman Melville, Philip Freneau, and Deborah Sampson. Jim Walker joins us this morning, and Jim is a professor emeritus as well of communication at St. Xavier University and a past executive director of the International Association of Communication and Sport. He's the author of several books, including Crack of the Bat, A History of Baseball on the Radio, and is the co-author of Centerfield Shot, A History of Baseball on Television. This book is put out by Nebraska Press, as well as Jim's other two books. Jim, welcome to the show today. When I say Red Barber, for me, the voice comes back to me, and it's just a fabulous, fabulous subject. Why you and Red Barber?
Judith and I were actually looking for a project to work on together. We're a married couple, and we retired a few years ago. And we sort of discovered through some research we were doing on what people do in retirement that one of the things we really enjoyed thinking about doing was a biography. We had both written some biographical pieces for our scholarly work. And we saw this opportunity, and I had seen Red's archive at the University of Florida and realized what an incredible resource it was, and that it really hadn't been used very much, and no one had really done a definitive biography of such an important person in the history of baseball, and certainly in the history of the broadcasting of baseball. So I talked to her about it, and she agreed to get a little more into baseball research. That was something natural to me. And then she was able to bring her understanding of literary scholarship and analysis to the project, and I think that really enriched it because Red was quite a writer in addition to being a broadcaster.
Boy, great combination. Now, you know, I went to the University of Florida. That's where I did my undergraduate. And I never knew that Red was connected. Now, of course, in later life, I realized he was part of WRUF in Gainesville. And, of course, the archives are there. Tell me about the archives at the University of Florida. I'm interested.
What Red did was, and he was asked to by the university, when he retired to the Tallahassee area, but maintained contacts with the university. And he was asked by Dean, I believe it was Education, if he would consider giving the university his works, and he did. And what's there are an incredible resource because Red and his wife Lila collected clippings, and then he also had a clipping service. And so there are about 30 notebooks of clippings. Wow. From the very beginning all the way back to his high school days. So his entire career, and then his basically personal papers start from about 1966, and they go really up to the end of his life. So there was about 10,000 pages of documents to look at. So it was quite a research task.
Red Barber is such an important person in the world of baseball broadcasting, humanity as well. But you have to know a little bit of his background to understand what he faced in broadcasting and what an important part he was in the seminal days of radio in New York City especially. So I think it's important to give a little bit of Red's background of how he grew up, where he grew up, and then let's talk about getting to New York City in the late 30s.
Yeah. Well, Red was a son of the South. He spent his first 10 years in Columbus, Mississippi, and then his family moved to Florida, Sanford, Florida, when he was 10 years old, and he was there through high school and a couple of years after high school, then went to the University of Florida and had no interest in radio other than just the way anyone would be interested in it at the time. And he was kind of corralled into reading a paper on bovine obstetrics for the educational radio station WRUF there. Nobody wanted to read this paper, and Red sat down, just read it cold, and you know how hard that is to do. And apparently it impressed the station manager so much that the guy pursued him for about a month to try to convince him that he might want to take a part-time job at the radio station. That's really where it all started for him. And then he really rose through the ranks there, became the lead announcer, and became a big voice for radio in the Florida area. And the University of Florida Gators radio broadcast of the football games became extremely popular and the most popular thing on the radio station. He then finally got his big break in Cincinnati, went there from 1934 to 1939, established himself as a professional both locally and nationally, did a number of World Series, did a number of big-time football games, Ohio State, Notre Dame, the Army Air Force, the Army Navy game, which were, of course, the biggest college games of the year in those days. And then NBC courted him for a bit, but didn't make him a very good offer. And he wound up following Larry McPhail to Brooklyn and joining the Dodgers in 1939. And what was so important about that is there had been a blackout on all regular season broadcasts in New York for 5 years before Red came. And Red became one of the very first voices where people could hear baseball on the radio on a daily basis. And he got it and ran with it and became really a legend in that in the Brooklyn community and really in the whole New York area.
Well, growing up in Brooklyn, of course, I listened to him in the early 50s, and I remember him quite well with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the thing about Red, it was his choice of words and his southern drawl. And let's face it, this is New York City, and they're not broadcasting games. Red comes in, and the Dodgers all of a sudden have broken that agreement, and the Giants and Yankees said, hey, we better broadcast the games too. So it was because of Red that radio baseball in New York really took off. But being a man of the South, things happen. Well, we'll skip World War II for a second here if we could. Red did have a big part in the philanthropy of World War II with the Red Cross and the bond drive. But here he is in the mid-40s, and you know what's going to happen in 1947. All hell's going to break loose in baseball. And here is Red Barber, the beloved broadcaster, and I mean beloved broadcaster from the South, talking to people in Brooklyn, the people's church, and, hey, forget about it. We're the Brooklyn Dodgers. And here's Red with that beautiful drawl and just a great choice of words. And he's got a broadcast about Jackie Robinson, and this is the crossroads of his life and career, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, Red writes about this and talks about it a lot throughout his entire life. This was a very, very important part of his transition and his growth. Being somebody from the South in that era, and, you know, you've got to remember, this was quite a while ago. You know, he basically grew up in a segregated world, and he always said his parents were very respectful of African Americans, but you didn't socialize. There was a line, and when Branch Rickey told him in a private luncheon that he was going to bring an African American, a black man, to Major League Baseball, Red was kind of taken aback because the old part of him didn't know whether he could really do this. He talked with his wife. She said, you know, you really have a pretty good job here. You're very popular. Maybe you want to, you know, have a martini and sleep on this. And he, of course, came to his senses. And then what he realized is that Jackie Robinson meant so much more to him than he could ever mean to Robinson. Robinson was always very complimentary of how Red handled his entry into the major leagues, primarily by not calling much attention to his race. And just treating him as a ball player, as the exciting ball player he was. And Robinson's play quickly convinced people that race was certainly not an issue with this player. And Barber just did a job of reporting, which is what he wanted to do. He believed his job was to report the game on the field and not to editorialize. And that was a pretty common practice at the time.
Boy, if you have a chance, go to YouTube and just listen to some of the clips of Red Barber and his voice and the things he said. He would be in the catbird seat. The bases were FOB, full of Brooklyn. The rhubarbs would happen. Who knew what a rhubarb was? And the game is tighter than a new pair of shoes. And Red talked like that. And as I say, to us, the kids in Brooklyn, we didn't think twice about it. And he was that beloved voice of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, he became a mentor to many broadcasters, including the old redhead himself from Fordham, and it was Vin Scully.
Yep. He was, I think, probably his proudest achievement as a broadcaster beyond the 33 years he did Major League Baseball was the mentoring of Vin Scully and the blossoming of Scully. And what a great student he was of Red, and then a fantastic broadcaster in his own right, obviously. And I think Red was so proud of that. And Vin was always extremely gracious in recognizing Red's contribution to his career. But really, I mean, in one sense, Red's career extended far beyond him, because so many of the traits that we associate with Vin Scully, his incredible gift of description, his desire to do the appropriate research to get the background material necessary to do a quality broadcast. These are things that he learned from Red, and he credits Red for. So that was a great relationship. And then, of course, Barber also influenced others. He worked with Ernie Harwell early in his career, Jerry Coleman, Bob Costas read his book, The Broadcasters, when he was in high school. John Miller read his book also and credits him in his own book on baseball. And he also influenced Phil Rizzuto. So a lot of people directly connect themselves to Red just from working with him and being mentored by him.
Boy, it's amazing thinking about all the people that he influenced in his life. He was a man of principle as well, and he left the Dodgers, and I'll never forget that. Where did Red Barber go? What happened? And he ends up with the Yankees, and that is in the book as well. How did tell us the story just briefly?
Sure. Well, Red was fortunate to have two bosses early in his baseball career, Larry McPhail, and then especially Branch Rickey, who he really idolized, and they really let him be himself. They gave him a lot of latitude. They really treated him like a professional, and he had a terrific relationship with both of them. Walter O'Malley was a little different person. I think they had actually a pretty good relationship initially, but over time, Red, I think, began to feel that O'Malley didn't really value his services to the degree the others had. He felt that O'Malley was starting to meddle a bit in the broadcast, and he felt that basically he wasn't welcomed. And so when his contract finally expired, he had been looking at this for a couple of years. His dissatisfaction had been building. And in 1953, he had a bit of a blow up. He was concerned that the sponsor wasn't going to pay him properly for the World Series, and so he declined to do the World Series in 1953. And with that, he went to his boss, Walter O'Malley, and said, what do you think about this? And O'Malley said, well, that's your business. And he was hoping to get some support from the boss and really didn't. And at that point, that was enough to get him to look elsewhere into the this horrible for Brooklyn fans, to the Yankees up the river.
Unbelievable, seriously. And that with Mel Allen, and he broadcast those World Series with Mel Allen in late 40s and 50s, and they would break up the game. You know, Red would do one half and Mel would do the other half. And you knew they were just rooting for their team. You know, it didn't come across quite as obviously, but it must have just driven them crazy to have to go a half a game with Mel Allen, and here he becomes Mel Allen's partner with the Yankees.
One thing to add, Red really differed with Mel. He very much respected Mel, and he always, even though he worked with him at the Yankees, he always called him the voice of the Yankees. He wanted to make it clear that, you know, this was Mel had earned that. But he saw Mel as let's say, an advocate for his team. And Red was extremely concerned that people saw him as a fair announcer and not rooting for the team. I mean, obviously, he felt good if they won and so forth. But when he was reporting the game, he wanted it to be as neutral as possible. And he always tells a story about a Brooklyn cabbie complaining to him. And he's saying, well, you know, the problem with you is, you know, when you're covering the games, I don't know who you're rooting for, you know. And of course, he saw that as a huge compliment.
I love it. It's so true. And you know, you'd hear Mel Allen dying on every pitch with the Yankees,
yes,
and Red,
yes,
would come on. I've listened to many of those broadcasts. Famous calls by Red, of course, in 1947. Cookie Lavigetto, yep, breaks up Bill Bevan's no-hitter. If you have a chance, fans, listen to that. The Algie and Frito catch, yep, off of Joe DiMaggio. Back. And Lavigetto, yep, hits one off the wall. And I don't know. They're just iconic calls of baseball. Red did other things in his life. And the book is Red Barber. It's really a good, good book, The Life and Legacy of a Broadcasting Legend. Jim Walker is with us. It's put out by Nebraska. Of course, we support our local bookstores. The Book Tree up in Montclair, David can get it for you up there. I hope he has this one in the window. But later on in life, he was on NPR. And it was Fridays with Red Barber. He would be on with Colonel Bob Edwards. And yep, I want to tell you, I would drive to court. And, you know, I was a lawyer in those days, and I would go to court, and I'd want to be there by about 9 o'clock. And on Friday, I made sure I was in the car. And for us in California, it was about 8:40, I think, that he would come on and do this show every Friday with Bob Edwards. And it was a pattern for me that I use today in interviews that I have on a weekly basis. But to listen to these two talk just off the cuff about baseball and life, fabulous, yeah, fabulous stuff.
Yeah. Red was the master of the ad lib material. He really saw himself as an ad lib broadcaster. Writing was challenging for him because with ad libbing, you do it and it's done. Writing kind of goes on. But he was just a master at those 4 minutes. And Edwards, who had been schooled in a different era of radio, was very comfortable working off scripts. He was a newsman. He was interested in reading the news. Everything had to be written out. And here's this person who's the master of the spontaneous. And it took a little while for him to get used to that. But Red became the charmer and the most popular feature on NPR, the morning edition, his little 4 minute segment on Fridays. And in many ways, he became a more popular national figure in his 70s because of these little segments and the wisdom and the ideas that he presented. And there are lots of people who remember him very fondly from those days.
Oh, it was great. He'd talk about the flowers in the garden, and they would, yep, go through the season. And it was I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. Well, when I read the book, I hear his voice, and that's always a good sign. When you read a book about somebody, you can hear Red talking. So it's a pleasure to have you on, Jim. And this is one that is really well done, and it's about a subject and a man who deserves the thorough work that you did. So congratulations on the book, and it's
Thank you.
A pleasure having you on. Pleasure.
It's been terrific talking to you. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, that is Jim Walker. Red Barber is the book. More coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.